Good evening. Welcome back to Fletcher First Baptist Church. It's going to be a practice night, so everybody get on up here in this choir and let's fill it up and sing for God's glory.
Thank you. Amen. We're encouraged to keep on the firing line. I believe it was Apostle Paul told us to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold onto eternal life. Wherefore, we are called. We're called to be a good soldier and to keep on the firing line. It's good to be here tonight and enjoying this beautiful, beautiful sunny Sunday afternoon the Lord's given us. I believe it's supposed to be a pretty day tomorrow. He's blessed us with good health. He's blessed us with good weather to come to the house of God, and we thank him for that. I believe we're going to take up the offering here in a minute, but we're going to pray first. See the men moving back there. To my knowledge, I think they shut down our TD Bank, and our team has to travel a little bit, so they're going to start taking the offering up a little bit earlier to help the ladies out, and so we'll do that here in just a minute. So they'll do it right now. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his blessings. A lot to pray for. Let's remember the family of Brother Charles Guerin. His wife had went home to be the Lord Juanita. That's Brother Wayne's sister-in-law, Sister Annette Wright's sister-in-law, and Brother David Gentry's sister-in-law. So let's remember that family. And let's go, Lord, in prayer at this time. Father, we want to thank you this evening for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness and your long-suffering. And Lord, we thank you for your kindness that you've shown to us. And Lord, we thank you most of all for the opportunity to be back in the house of God. Lord, there's many sick, many in nursing homes, Lord, that desire to be here. And Father, can't be, but we're thankful that we are. You've assembled us. You've given us the health, the strength, the ability to come. Lord, I pray that we would not take it for granted. There'll be a day, Lord, when we desire to come to the house of God, and we may not be able to. I pray we can take advantage of this opportunity. Father, for all you've done for us, Lord, we thank you for the congregation, for the congregation this morning, for those here tonight. And Lord, I pray most of all that you'd be in our midst. You'd help us. Father, you'd walk among us. Father, you'd speak to us and you'd draw us to you. Father, for your honor and glory, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, before we get started on the next song, I just wanted to say, you know, I feel, I guess, pressed this evening to try to encourage somebody. I know we've got a lot of things going on in our congregation that can get you down. And life does, it sometimes get you down. But serving the Lord should always bring you up. And, you know, I just want to encourage somebody to keep on the firing line this evening. The songs that I've picked, in each one of them, you should be able to see one thing that should encourage you to keep you going. This next song we don't normally sing here. I know a lot of other churches do sing it. We're going to sing Saved, Saved. And if there's nothing more that we can thank God for or to encourage us along the journey whenever we're having a difficult time, it's being saved. I mean, being able to point back to the day or the time, or even if you don't have one of those, being able to point back to the situation where you got saved. And that's what we're going to try to sing about right now. If it's all boogered up, that's all my fault. So.
He saves me. Yeah.
It's the words to At the Cross, but the chorus is different, so.
Amen.
The verses are different, too. The words. Someday when we don't have to worry about any of the troubles that we're dealing with down here, and the fact that he loves us, that should all give us the oomph to want to go and serve him. So stand and sing, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Yes, amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
So I didn't know of a special that Randy had set up, so I did ask Miss Mary Sue, because she was on my heart to sing a song. I'm sure you'll be blessed by her. She's a blessing to me every time, so.
To say tonight that I thank God for being here. Thank Him most of all for saving my soul. Brother Gunn, that message this morning was just wonderful to me. I'm so thankful that I serve a living God, and I'm thankful that He can meet my every need. Pray for me while I try to sing tonight.
Bethlehem, Calvary, all of this tale's, oh, what a Savior is mine. Mountains and plains with His praises shall swell. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine. There on the cross where He died for my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Giving His life, this poor wonder to win. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, the word of God came to Elijah as toward God's throne he looked. Get thee in to turn these word, hide yourself down by the brook. So he did as God commanded. He knew the Lord would see him through. Just as God did for Elijah, he will do for me and you. And he said, stay by the brook, stay by the brook. And God told Elijah to go down and stay by the brook. I'll see to your every need. Ravens bring you food to eat. Don't get faint hearted, just look to me. Stay by the brook. All of our days down here numbered were like vapor and then we're gone. God's never failed one of his children. Every one of them will make it home. So don't fret about your problems, trials and heartaches you might face. It could happen in any moment. God's gonna take us out of this place. And he said, stay by the brook, stay by the brook. And God told Elijah to go down and stay by the brook. I'll see to your every need. Ravens bring you food to eat. Don't get faint hearted, just look to me. Stay by the brook. Don't get faint hearted, just look to me and stay by the brook.
With all that singing, that what a joyful opportunity just to hear songs of Zion, and no matter who's singing, what a blessing it is. We're so honored here, and I'm still feasting on that message we heard this morning, and going to be feasting on one we hear tonight. Brother Brian Gilbert, where you at, my brother? There's Brother Brian. I'd made a mistake. I intended to ask him Wednesday night to preach tonight, and then he got busy doing something, and he was going out the door, and I was thinking I'd ask him. So I said this morning, ready to preach tonight? And he said, huh? And he said, but I can get ready. And I thought I'd ask him, but then I remember going, well, I really asked him. I just didn't get it done, but I'm asking that. Will you preach, brother?
Wasn't ready this morning, but I'm ready now. Thank the Lord. All because of him. All because of him. Turn in your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 4. And while you're turning, just to give you a little background here, remember Paul was in prison in Rome as he was writing this letter to the church at Philippi. And so that kind of gives you an idea of Paul's thought in sending this to them, and that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Well, we're going to be starting in verse 10. We're going to read from verse 10 to 20 of Philippians chapter 4. It says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know you both how to be abased. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, as we look at your word tonight, we just ask that you would be in the midst, that you would speak what needs to be spoke, and that you would keep quiet what doesn't need to be spoke, Lord. God, just fill us with your Spirit and show us what we need to know from your word tonight so that we can live our lives, so we can be close to you, and so that we can know that we have a Savior who died for us on the cross. We love you and thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I want to look at the thought of being content and not complacent. Are we content with our lives with the Lord? Are we content with what God has put before us? Are we content with what God has tasked us to do? But before we look at the contentment, we need to look at complacency. And I guess we're all a little guilty, a little struggle a little bit with complacency. It can keep our mind off the Lord. It can get us wrapped up in things, and then Satan can capitalize on that. If we give him an inch, he'll take a mile, you know. But with looking at this chapter and some other scriptures tonight, maybe we can put complacency aside and be content in the Lord. So let's look at complacency just a little bit. Complacency means self-satisfied, unconcerned, casual, and uninterested. I guess you could say we're caught in a rut and we don't want to get out of a rut, you know. As I was studying this, I thought about, you know, if you get your car stuck in the mud, sometimes you just sit there and spin and spin and spin, and you never go anywhere. You think you might do some good, but you just sit there. And most of the time, you spin and spin and spin, and you just dig deeper and deeper and get worse and worse. But to get out of that work, you've got to do a little work. You've got to get your hands dirty. You've got to get out and shovel or go get something and pull it out. You can't just sit there in that seat mashing that gas hoping that it'll come out. That's kind of what complacency is. Kind of relate that to serving the Lord, you know. A lot of times when we're complacent, we get caught up in going to church and sitting in our pew and being satisfied. But see, the definition is self-satisfied. We may not be doing what God wants us to do by just sitting there on that pew. And that's where the contentment comes in. But let me give you some examples of complacency in God's Word, just to kind of give you an idea. In the Old Testament, you remember the Israelites when God delivered them out of Egypt. You know, God delivered them. They were stubborn. He supplied their needs. He gave them manna every day. But yet they said, it would be better if we went back to Egypt. They weren't content with what God gave them. And then think about the foolish virgins and the virgins in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. You know, they didn't go get their oil. They just said, We'll wait. We'll get it later. You know, that's kind of what complacency is. We'll wait till the last minute and get it done, and we'll slide in. Or having the thinking of just doing just enough to get by. Well, Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. If we don't have time to do the Sermon on the Mount, but Matthew 5 through 7, I'm just going to hit some high spots, and then I want to show you what Jesus says about complacency at the end of his message. But if you remember the Sermon on the Mount, we had the Beatitudes. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, he says, if you light a candle, you don't put it under a bushel so nobody can see. You've got to shine that light, you know. And then in chapter 6, he says, love your enemies. And then he taught us the Lord's Prayer. And he taught us to lay up your treasures in heaven. And then in Matthew chapter 7, he says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. You see, he's right there. We've got the tools. We got everything we need through him to do what he wants us to do, to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. But yet we get stuck in that rut and doing just enough to get by. But he closes that message on the Sermon on the Mount with the story that the little kids sing. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, he's talking about all that whole message, 5, 6, and 7, that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And we know who that rock is. That rock is Jesus Christ. So we can apply that to our lives, that we must put our faith and trust and dependence upon Christ. And we'll see that when we get into Philippians in just a minute. But then there was this foolish man. He was complacent. I'll be all right. I'll just, you know, do it the way I want to do. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Another definition of complacency is self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiency. Think about that foolish man. He was so blinded that he didn't even think about the dangers that were ahead when he didn't build that house upon the rock. He built it on the sand. You know, we think about our world today and the blindness that we see. But see, it's our job to shine that light to those men, to show them the truth, and let God work through us and let God speak to them through the Holy Spirit to enlighten them. We need to pray for them first of all, and then we need to be in the center of God's will and do what God wants us to do in this lost and dying world. Now let's bring us a little home a little bit, talking about complacency. We say these things a lot. Someone else will do it. Well, what if God wants you to do it? Or, I don't have time. Well, what if God wants you to take the time? Or, I'm not qualified. Well, you know, every one of us are not qualified. We must have Jesus to be saved. We must have Jesus in our hearts to have eternal life. But when we have him, he enables us and gives us the power, and we'll see that here in Philippians just a minute. He will give us what we need if we put our dependence upon him. All right, now, let's go back to Philippians. Let's look at contentment just a minute. And not only contentment in our lives, but contentment in doing what God wants us to do and being contentment in what he calls us to do. The word content means having a mind at peace, easy, satisfied, so as not to be ejected, opposed, or disturbed. Before we look at Philippians, I got a couple of verses here. Let me just read to you. From Proverbs, it says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that have it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." So the fear of the Lord shall satisfy us. That's just the beginning. One of the most dangerous things of complacency is those that are so complacent that they won't just reach out and accept the free gift of God's salvation. They won't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the most dangerous part of complacency. But if we fear the Lord, He's going to bring that satisfaction. Not our self-satisfaction, but satisfaction in Him, which is true salvation. It's true contentment. Then in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." How can we not be content in that? Is it that we get to doubting and don't believe that? We probably do. We probably do. We probably say, "The Lord's not going to help me in this situation. I think I'll just handle it on my own." You know, that's where we get in trouble. But if we bank on that statement, "I will never leave thee or forsake thee," the next verse says, "so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." If we can hold on to those two verses, we can accomplish anything that God calls us to do. Now, another thing in being content, we've got to put our dependence upon the Lord. A lot of times we try to get ahead of the Lord, or we say, "Well, Lord, if you'd allow me to do this, look what we could accomplish together." Well, think about Paul in prison in Rome. I don't know if he thought it, but I know if I was in that session, I would probably think it. "Well, Lord, if you'd let me out of prison, look what I could do for you." But Paul was, he said he was content. So let's look at that right now. He says, verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." It wasn't one of those overnight things. He had to learn it. We all have to learn it. But you think about what all Paul went through. He was content, but yet, even in prison, he was still proclaiming the Word of God and sharing the Word of God to all these churches. And he was content. In verse 12, he says, "I know both how to be abased. I know how to be low, and I also know how to abound." I know how to handle it both. "Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then here's the beginning of the key. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." He knew his dependence had to be upon Christ. And without Christ, we can do nothing. We have to have Christ. He gives us the ability, whether he wants us to be a Sunday school teacher or a security person, media and sound, a preacher, a deacon, whatever position in the church God wants us to do, he's going to give you the ability to do it. But you have to listen to him and say, "Hey, you know, if we follow the Lord and do the things that he wants us to do, it can be a challenge. But we've got to learn to put our faith and trust in him, that he's going to accomplish what we want to accomplish." You know, we all can't be a Billy Graham or a J. Harold Smith or a famous preacher, you know. Thousands, and we can't be a Peter or a Paul and thousands to be saved, you know. We all have our own responsibilities. I've talked to Preacher Roy about this, but it's been almost 4 years since I was called to preach, and I've preached at other churches, filling in and things, you know, and I had in my mind, not in the will of the Lord, that, well, the Lord called me to preach. I guess I'm supposed to preach somewhere, you know. And I've struggled with it in the past. But finally, the Lord spoke to me and says, you're exactly where you need to be. I want you at Fletcher First Baptist Church. I want you to be over the one. I want you to work with the youth and teach Sunday school and be deacon and do the other things that you do. Right there is where I want you to be. Just because I called you to preach don't mean you need to be a pastor of a church. Brother Roy gives us opportunities, all of us preachers, opportunities to preach his word, and then we also get the opportunities to go out other places as well. But we don't have to be pastors of a church. But what we've got to realize, and what I had to realize, was we need to be in the center of God's will. We need to be content in what he has for us and not try to get ahead of him. Because if we do, we're not going to accomplish nothing. We're not going to accomplish nothing. So we've got to accept that we have to have Christ, his strength, his guidance, his ability in us to do what he wants us to do. Skip down to verse 19. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Again, Christ Jesus. It has to be through Christ Jesus. That's the basis. That's the rock that we build upon. We have to put our faith and trust in Christ. And then he'll supply our needs, whether it's a physical need or a need to help in the task that he's given us. All right, let's back up just a minute in this chapter. Some of this is some familiar passages. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, first of all, he says, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. Don't be fearful. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, these requests can be needs. That don't mean that we can pray for a shiny Corvette and get it. But if we need a shiny Corvette to do what he wants us to do, he'll give it to us. But this is saying that if we put our dependence upon him, you don't have to worry about anything. He's going to supply. Remember what the definition of contentment was? Having a mind at peace. Listen to this next verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, we see that verse, Christ Jesus. Now, bringing complacency and contentment, you know, you can have true contentment and be complacent. You have to put complacency aside. Complacency is not contentment. Complacency is a false contentment based on your own self. But contentment is true contentment. And when God calls us to do something, whatever that may be, we must put our faith and trust in him. Now listen to Paul's examples here. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. As I said earlier, you know, if we give Satan an inch, he's going to take a mile. we have got, and I like what Brother Gunn said this morning about our posture. We don't just need to go through the motions, but we need to, it's the condition of the heart, the posture of the heart, and what he wants us to do, whether that be praying. You know, we can pray going down the road, or we can pray in the shower, but there's something about getting down on your hands and knees and praying, you know. It's a commitment. It means maybe fasting, you know. If you fast, God knows what you mean, and it's a condition of your heart. But he's saying here, those things, what things? The things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report. Think on these things. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. He says, do. How can we have contentment? Do what he has called us to do. He says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Remember the definition of content? Having a mind at peace. If we do those things that he commands us to do, it says, and the God of peace shall be with you. I was thinking this morning during Brother Gunn's message about these things, and I guess that's why the Lord brought them to mind, because he knew that he wanted me to preach on this tonight. It's easy to get wrapped up and complacent in the things of the world. And I guess I was in that place this morning. And Lord started bringing these things. You know, we get busy, and this is not an excuse. We get busy, we do this and that. We neglect to spend time in God's Word. We neglect to spend time in the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. We neglect to spend time in prayer, and we get wrapped up in the things of this world, and we get out of the right frame. We get complacent. So how can we be contented? We've got to keep our hearts and minds in this. Like I said again, if we give the devil an inch, he's going to take a mile, and he's going to rob us of what God has in store for us. But then the key, as I've said many times tonight, is these three verses. 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The key is Christ. Verse 19, but God, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding so keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the key is we've got to put our full dependence, our full faith and trust, our full fear in Christ Jesus. And what he's done for us, what the singing tonight, Mary Sue singing about, oh, what a Savior. If we can think on those things, that doesn't give the devil much room, does it? We've got to think on those things. And then that puts us in the position God can capitalize and multiply what he'd have us to do through that. So, again, the key is Christ Jesus. But I always am concerned about the lost. And as I mentioned about the dangers of being complacent, and the most dangerous thing is if you've never reached out and grasped that free gift. Jesus died for you. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sins. He paid everything for my sins and your sins and everyone's sins. But he didn't stay in that grave. On the third day, he rose again to give us victory over sin, to give us victory over death. And because he lives, we can live too. We have everlasting life. But don't be complacent. Don't be stubborn. And don't reach out and grab that free gift of salvation. It says, just believe and you will be saved. Brother Roy.
Brian, that's a message we so need, every one of us. I'm afraid every one of us get complacent. You know, easy believism, no, we're not there, but just everything's going pretty good. But we ought to always be willing to do, just like you said, reach out and expect what God wants us to do. We can be content within ourselves, but is he content with us? That's the key. Wonderful message, both this morning and tonight. We appreciate that. Everyone stand, the invitation time. A message like this, we need to apply our hearts and minds to what God wants you to do. Musicians will come, please. Play whatever God puts on your mind and what on your heart. And the altar is open. Have you done what God expects you to do? Is God telling you something else? First excuse many of us have, well, I can't do that. I couldn't do that. No, you can't. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. See, if Christ asks you to do something, you're not on your own. Many times in my life, he's asked me to do something, and I realize I can't do it. I don't have to do it. He can work through us. All minds and hearts, being obedient in that. The whole key to service is for you to do what God expects and wants you to do. That's what the message has been about tonight. Let's be obedient in that. While I'm praying, altar's open. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your precious word. Your precious word guides us, leads us, directs us. And Lord, the Holy Spirit applies that word to her heart, gives us an invitation to march upward and onward, not look back, and not even stay put. Father, we are marching upward and onward to Zion, wonderful, beautiful city of God. Every day of our life, we will not be the same tomorrow as we are today. We will either be closer to you or farther from you. And help us, Father, everyone to realize we need to be closer to you. And we know how to do that. Read, study, show yourself approved, as these preachers have done today. And Lord, prayer, supplication, and bringing theirself to realize that it's not about us, it's about you. It's not about us, it's about others. As Paul taught us in his precious word. And Lord, he said one time, I don't know what I ought to do. It's better to go on. But for your sake, he said, I'll stay. He was looking to others. He knew he had a home in heaven, get out of the misery and the confinement he was in. But he was willing to stay because you want him to. And he wasn't complacent in that. He wanted to serve you, and he did. Help us to regard that in our lives and our hearts. Thank you, Father, for the services today, for your will, for all those people that's hurting, for those people that's lost their loved ones, those people that's suffering, those people that's in the hospitals and rest homes and their home not able to come to the house of God. I pray for them. And Lord, help us, while we're able, while we have strength, to be willing to go and to do and to seek your face in these days. Lord, be with our nation. Troubled time in this world with all the sickness, the despairs, the unrest, and without you, no hope. But Father, we do have you, so therefore we do have hope. Help us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, for your sake, for your glory. Amen. Amen. Announcement, you may have already heard this, but Juanita Guerin's visitation will be Tuesday night at Forest Lawn in Hendersonville from 6 to 8 visitation. The funeral service will be graveside only. It'll be private just for the family. And that'll be Wednesday at 2 o'clock. So visitation is Tuesday, Forest Lawn, 6 to 8. Be much in prayer. for the family. All minds and hearts clear. Brother David Gentry, come pray with us and for us. He and I went to take some food to Juanita's daughter where the family's gathering at Crab Creek. We didn't know where it was. We had a GPS, thank the Lord, or we'd still be out looking in the dark. But we found it, but it was much farther than we thought. It took much longer, but it was beautiful country, beautiful drive back. And we were late, forgive us. But we did our best, didn't we, brother? Amen. Don't forget services Wednesday night. Pray for our nation.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of we've heard tonight about being complacent. I realize how easy it is for me to be in that position, and I let it happen. I don't mean to, but I do many times. And Lord, I ask you to help me as I leave this place, if I should see the light of another day, that I'll be more on target with that, what you would have me to be doing. And I pray tonight for those that are sick, those that are in the hospitals, in the nursing homes. And Lord, it's heartbreaking so many times when we're, you know how it is, when we see these people and what they're going through, but we know that those that have that blessed hope of a better country, it's wonderful to see the smiles on their face and hear from their voice that I know it's going to be better on. And but we see so many that aren't ready, not prepared. And Lord, I pray that you just help me, and especially to be a better witness to those that are on the wrong road and going in the wrong direction, and being just walking real close to being in eternity. And Lord, I pray that you just help each of us here tonight to be more alert to your voice whenever you're telling us, speak to that person. Help us to be that which would be pleasing to us, to you. Help us to be that which is pleasing to you. You know how we are. We're easy to be complacent, but help us as we leave this place tonight to be that which would be pleasing to you for the rest of our time here on this earth. Amen.